We're speaking with Cornell University professor Dr. Mark Bain about sturgeon, the dinosaur-like fish that inhabit the Hudson and were a source of caviar. To learn more about anything you hear on this program, visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Coming up on the Hudson River, the Eco Calendar, a soundscape of the river, and more. Next, we'll continue with our interview of Bain. He'll describe how commercial fishermen have responded to the banning of sturgeon fishing on the Hudson and where you can see these prehistoric fish yourself.
Some of these people work for us, and so I would hear from them sort of directly as a supervisor or friend. And what I got was that they realized about the same time as us that it wasn't looking good for Atlantic sturgeon. And they told us that they could see that there was a reduced number and the fish were getting smaller, which is a sign that harvest is too high. I believe also that because some of them worked for us, they would see the results, and I believe that pervaded the fisherman community, which is a small number of people, 10 to 12 on the Hudson River. I think they pretty much realized that the end was going to come on this business.
You talked a little bit about the life history of the short-nosed sturgeon, saying that it stays its entire lifetime in the river and spawns in Albany. And to some degree, we covered the life history of the Atlantic, but could you sort of restate it? It's a fish that comes to the Hudson primarily to spawn, isn't that so?
They have a very complicated life cycle, and I'll try to give that real quick. Spawning takes place in just a very few locations in the Hudson River, and the really big one is in Hyde Park. The fish congregate there from May through August. They lay eggs there. The fish hatch in like a week and grow rapidly, about 1 foot a year. And for about 3 years, they stay entirely in the Hudson River. These fish really have a spawning period. They have a river resident period where they're in the river as young from about Poughkeepsie down to New York City. And then they leave and spend about a decade going in and out of marine and fresh waters. And then at maturity, which is about 12 years of age for males and about 15 years of age for females, they'll return to the Hudson River May through August to the Hyde Park spawning area. They do not die like salmon. They'll go back and join the migratory fishes along the coast and in other rivers.
Now, you mentioned three spawning sites, but only focused on Hyde Park. Where are the other two?
Historically, there had been accounts of one in Catskill, New York. We were never able to document spawning up there. I don't know why. Maybe if the population was much larger, there'd be fish spawning there, or there could be fish spawning near Catskill today, but there are so few that we never could catch them. We also documented a spawning site near Wappingers Falls.
Is there a way that from shore or a boat people can somehow experience without catching the sturgeon?
Both species are very, very difficult to encounter. They're not even accidentally captured by people, let's say, fishing for American shad with nets. And that's because these fish at all life stages, when they're in the river, either large fish or very small ones, they stay in the deepest water. So they're out in the middle of the channel in water that's generally 40 feet or greater. And because of that, you just can't see the fish normally. However, there are two opportunities to actually see the fish. One is when short-nosed sturgeon spawn, their spawning site is below the Troy Dam by Albany. And they spawn in spring from mid-April to mid-May. If it's a very dry spring, one where we don't have snow cover, and the Hudson River is low and clear, under those conditions, it's very easy to see the fish, and we've had very heavy reports. One of the years of our study was like that, and it was a lot of people were calling and saying they had never seen these fish ever before, and they couldn't believe how many there were, and they were very excited about it. That was just because of unusual conditions, low, clear water. The other opportunity to see sturgeon is when they jump in the air. One of the big mysteries about these fish is why would a fish that lives in greater than 40 feet of water in perpetual darkness swim all the way to the surface and completely clear the water going flying through the air? But this is a behavior that's observed in sturgeon around the world. So if you're in an area where there's a lot of sturgeon, if you watch, you'll see them jump out of the water, and that's an opportunity to see them.
And they completely clear the water. It's not like a whale breach.
No, they'll completely clear the water. There's, you know, we've gotten accounts of people that have had fish land in their boat because they just jump up into the air.
Now,
yeah.
And then if the feds or the state game people come by, then they could be arrested for having an endangered species aboard.
Well, every now and then someone down in along Manhattan catches a short-nosed sturgeon fishing, but it's rare. We have had that happen because their fish were tagged and they reported it to us. I could tell you during the summertime, there tends to be Atlantic sturgeon that have migrated into the Hudson River during the summer. These are the fish that are not yet spawning size that are growing, but they're pretty big, like 4 or 5 foot long fish. They tend to concentrate at the head of the mixing of the salt and fresh water at a location called Con Hook, just above the Bear Mountain Bridge. And if you were to go there and watch carefully during the summertime, there's a pretty good chance you'd see sturgeon jump. It's really like going out on a clear night and watching for shooting stars, though. You know, you have to just wait.
Now, how can people help with sturgeon recovery and sturgeon research?
Well, I think about the only thing that people can really do is just show concern for protecting rare fish like this and, you know, be conservation-minded in your daily life.
From the Almanac, May 13, 1999, Albany, Hudson River Mile, 145. Aboard the Hudson River sloop Clearwater with O'Rourke Middle School of Burnt Hills, we were hauling in our trawl, hand over hand, with what seemed to be a good catch. I grabbed the writhing mass at the narrow cod end and placed it in the catch tub, which was filled with water. Through the mesh of the net, a strange face of lips and finger-like barbell stared out. A sturgeon! I ran around the deck, kissing the captain, mate, and cook before climbing aloft and giving my thanks from the crosstrees. I'm somewhat fond of short-nosed sturgeon. The fish measured 34.5 inches in length. We kept the fish long enough for all to see, and a few curious kids stroked its bony scutes. Afterwards, it gently slipped from my hands back into the river and was gone. This observation was contributed by Chris Bowser. I'm Batsheva Ghez.
The Hudson River Almanac is an annual natural history journal compiled from the contributions of over 1,700 volunteers. Links on how to contribute materials or obtain copies are at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu.
Time for the Hudson River Eco Calendar. I'm Sean Anderson. Talking benches, cooking grills shaped like animals, sculptural binoculars, and films aboard a floating cinema are among the outdoor artworks unfolding over the next 2 years along an 80-mile stretch of the Hudson between Bear Mountain and Albany, New York. Watershed, the Hudson Valley Art Project, is a pilot program of about a dozen commissioned public artworks sponsored by Minetta Brook, a nonprofit arts organization. For more information, contact area code 845-831-4129. That's 845-831-4129. The Hudson River Rama is a new permanent exhibition at the Hudson River Museum in Yonkers. The 2,500-square-foot installation features recreations of forest, marsh, and estuary ecosystems, live fish, interactive computers, videos, and a 31-foot-long, three-dimensional topographic model of the river valley. An associated 45-minute planetarium show joins two families on an Adirondack hiking trip as they learn about the Hudson's flora and fauna. For more information, call 914-963-4550. That's 914-963-4550. But if you feel like actually getting out on the river, the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve is sponsoring a series of canoe trips to some of the river's biggest marshes in New York State. These include Stockport Flats, a mosaic of islands and coves in Columbia County, Iona Island, nestled at the base of Bear Mountain in Rockland County, and Tivoli Bay, extensive marshes in Dutchess County. Trips include paddles devoted to learning about fish or history, and even an evening paddle. Trips are free and open to the public, though reservations are required. And you needn't have your own boat, as canoes, paddles, and safety gear are provided. For more information, call the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve at 845-758-7016. That's 845-758-7016. Another great opportunity to get out on the river is quickly approaching with the third annual Great Hudson River Paddle. From July 3rd to the 12th, paddlers will make the voyage from Albany to New York City to celebrate the Hudson Greenway Water Trail, making stops at Norrie Point, Cold Spring, Yonkers, and several other locations. The paddlers invite you to join them for day paddles or for the series of onshore festivals at each put-in site. For more information, email info@greathudsonriverpaddle.net. That's info@greathudsonriverpaddle.net.
Next week, we learn about the return of the endangered peregrine falcon to the cliffs and bridges of the Hudson Valley. And we listen to a song about the vanishing farmland along the Hudson. All this and more on the Hudson River. For this week's Hudson River Soundscape, Sean Anderson and I record a speeding boat hundreds of yards away as it passes a quiet cove at Norrie State Park in Stattsburg, New York. Sharing our perch high above the cove, a blue jay provides an opinionated play-by-play. The Hudson River Radio program is produced in association with Vassar College, its Environmental Studies program, and its Journalism Forum. Our student assistant producers are digital editor Sean Anderson and researcher and editor Batsheva Ghez. Professor Randy Cornelius is the project director. I'm your host, Mark Breslov, producer and project manager. This project has been funded in part by a grant from the New York State Environmental Protection Fund through the Hudson River Estuary Program. Special thanks to Fran Dunwell and Steve Stan of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Additional support for this program comes from Vassar College, with thanks to Susan Kuiper. Thanks also to Steve Rath. To listen to this program again or for more information, visit www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Email us at hudsonriver@vassar.edu.
Every thread of creation is held in position by still other strands of things living. in an earthly tapestry hung from the skyline of smoldering cities, so gray and so vulgar as not to be satisfied with their own negativity, but needing to touch all the living as well. Every breeze that blows kindly is one crystal breath we exhale on the blue diamond heaven, as gentle to touch as the hands of the healer, as soft as farewells whispered over the coffin. We're poisoned by venom with each breath we take from the brown sulfur chimney and the black highway snake. And every dawn that breaks golden is held in suspension, like the yolk of the egg in albumen, where the birth and the death of unseen generations are interdependent in vast orchestration and painted in colors of tapestry thread when the dying are born and the living are dead. And every pulse of your heartbeat is one liquid moment that flows through the veins of your being, like a river of life flowing on since creation, approaching the sea with each new generation. You're now just a stagnant.